Well, is it just another day, or are you expecting something today?
Expecting something.
It's a new day.
Amen. Amen.
And with God, everything's new.
That's right. Hallelujah. Let's take our Bibles. This is my Bible.
This is my Bible.
It is the Word of God.
It's the Word of God.
I have what it says I have.
I have what it says I have.
I am what it says I am.
I am what it says I am.
And I commit that I will do what it says I will do.
And I commit that I will do what it says I will do.
And I boldly proclaim.
I boldly proclaim.
My mind is open.
My mind is open.
My heart is receptive.
My heart is receptive.
And I will never be the same.
And I will never be the same.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, I'll tell you right now, I'm expecting something this morning.
Amen.
I can feel it already. I don't know what God's up to, but I'm anxious to see. I'm anxious to get there. I'm not anxious to leave.
No.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Father, we love you. We thank you for this day. We proclaim this is the day you have made. So we rejoice and we are glad in it. We thank you for your presence in our lives and in this place today. Holy Spirit, now, once again, we invite you. Come, bring the will of our Father into this place today. Cause your word to fill our hearts, to change us, to direct us, to correct us. Cause it to cause excitement and put the zeal, Lord, where the fire may be about to go out, back into us. We pray and thank you, Lord, that you do something in the lives today by your word, not by the will of man or opinion or man's words, but by your word that'll change us. But right now, Lord, we've gathered here to praise you and to worship you, to give you honor and glory. And that we're going to do. We pray that you'd be pleased by what you hear and what is said and done here today, that it would be a sweet smell and a sweet sound. In Jesus' name, in all who agree, say amen.
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 Praise the Lord. It is a good my heart.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. We give you glory, Lord. We give you glory. Praise your name. Praise your name. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise him. Praise him.
Hallelujah.
How can your lips keep still? If you don't sing out, raise your voices, the trees will ring. Rocks will cry out.
That's right.
Hallelujah.
That's right.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. How can y'all sit there? I'm telling you, it's all I can do to keep from, running my mouth constantly. God is good. God is good. Last Sunday we talked about the fact that this is the year of the redeemed. The scripture says that scripture, one of the scriptures we read, that this is the year of the redeemed. Man, if you're redeemed, you're supposed to say so, aren't you?
Right, that's right.
Praise the Lord.
We are redeemed.
Hallelujah.
Woo-hoo.
You know, if I came around and I kind of walked in just like this, now would you think I was redeemed?
No.
No, absolutely not. You'd think I was death warmed over. Lay hands on me and raise me from the dead. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Y'all get excited about anything except football? Mercy.
Oh, man, if you got to wait for me to get excited mercy. About that, you'll be waiting.
You know, it's amazing. I'm going to digress a minute here. It's amazing. When you go to football games, you get excited and you act like an absolute fool, ninny. They call you a fan. But you get excited about God and they call you a fanatic.
Yeah.
That's where the word fan
That's
came from.
Right.
Can I tell you something?
Yeah.
I resemble that.
Yeah.
I am a fanatic for God.
Amen.
Are you?
Amen.
I'm redeemed. I'm going to let you know. I'm going to let you know. You're redeemed. You ought to be letting people know. How are they going to know if you kind of hide it under a bushel? You know? Come on now.
Yep.
I'm standing here just about ready to have a Holy Ghost fit. And y'all look like you're just...
Praise the Lord.
Is this for real?
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise you, Father.
You know what? When I was in Boy Scouts, I used to have a stool. And for the unsuspecting new guy, guess what? They had a 9-volt battery
oh,
put
nice.
To the bottom of that. And you'd be sitting there and they'd be talking, and I don't know what, I can't remember what it was that they did to entice you to get up there. But anyway, next thing you know, I promise you, you weren't going to sit there lethargically. You'd get off that seat, and let me tell you something. You knew there was newness of life. You knew there was. Amen? Hallelujah. Come forward, gentlemen, please. Hallelujah. You know it's okay to get excited about God?
That's right.
Get excited in God?
Yes.
I got nothing else to get excited about, folks. How about you?
That's right.
There's nothing else out there that's worth getting excited about except God and His people and what He's doing. Amen?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Huh, Gene?
Yes.
Praise the Lord.
Glory to God.
Father, thank You for this time. Thank You for Your presence. Thank You, Lord, that You have redeemed us, that You proclaimed, Lord, in Your Word, this is the year of the redeemed. We thank You now for this opportunity, Lord, to, through jubilance and joy and an attitude of worship and praise, give You back what belongs to You, Lord, according to Your command. And Lord, it's not just that it belongs to You, but You've designed a plan so that You will give back to us as we give with hilarity of heart. That You'll give back to us by obedience, good measure, pressed down, shaken together. Give back, will men give back into our bosom because we've obeyed You, Lord. So we do this today. Lord, thank You for the gifts. Bless the gift and the giver, the offerings, multiply them, cause them to further Your kingdom in Jesus' name. And for this we give You praise and honor and glory and thanksgiving forever. Amen.
Amen.
Concept. To know what's going on here, you got to come here.
That's right. That's right.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Tell Him this morning.
compares with you. Lord, your love is wider than the ocean. Lord, your love is deeper than the sea.
Lift up holy hands.
magnify His name and worship Him. Let us lift up holy hands and magnify His name and worship Him. Let us lift up holy hands and magnify His name and worship Christ the Lord. Worship Him, Jesus Christ the Lord. We have come into Your house and gathered in Your name to worship You. We have come into this house and gathered in Your name to worship You. We have come into Your house and gathered in Your name to worship Christ the Lord. We worship You, Jesus Christ the Lord. Verse 3. So we lift up holy hands and magnify Your name and worship You. So we lift up holy hands and magnify Your name and worship You. So we lift up holy hands and magnify Your name and worship Christ the Lord. We worship You, Jesus Christ the Lord.
Praise You, Lord. Praise You, Lord. Praise You, Lord. Yes. Praise You, Lord. With my hands lifted up, with a heart filled with praise, with a song of thanksgiving, I bless You, O Lord. I bless You, O Lord. I bless You, O Lord. With a song of thanksgiving, I'll bless You, O Lord. With our hands lifted up, with our hearts filled with praise, with a song of thanksgiving, we bless You, O Lord. We bless You, O Lord. We bless You, O Lord. With a heart of thanksgiving, we bless You, O Lord. Praise You, Lord.
برستان ماشه من خطیری من خیه پردادان ما خوشی که دلان من خطاره من خطیر است چیل من خطیری با خوهی پاکه تیل من خطول من خطیر چه خیتری است که من خطاره من خطیری است آیه من خطو کرو تر مانده چه کنتانی من خطول من خطیری می دکی تر یک پرستاقا من خلاه من یه ترستا که چه چیل بطیری من خو برای کارمتن تیشی من خیل من خطورستا مور خطیرم شم من خطیرم کاره ترستا ماجه. Praise You, Jesus. Praise You, Jesus. Praise You, Father. Listen to the words that you hear today. guard your hearts, guard your minds, watch your tongues. Speak those things which the Lord has given you. You will hear many things, but the true word is only for you. The true word is only from the Lord. There is no other word that you can adhere to. Watch your hearts. Guard your ears. There is more, so much more to come. You will be guided and you will be directed by the Spirit. By my Spirit, says the Lord. Watch therefore. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
You're worthy, Lord. You're worthy, Lord. We worship you. We worship you, Lord.
Thank you.
Father, thank you for this time together. Thank you for your presence. We thank you, Lord. Lord, you are more precious than anything in this world. There's nothing you can desire, Lord, that's more important or better than you are. You are our provision. You are our peace. You are our Savior, our strength, our wisdom. I thank you, Lord. When you said it is finished on the cross, Lord, let us understand that it was and is finished for eternity to come. From eternity then to eternity now, it's finished. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Right now, Father, I give myself to the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, use me. Hide me behind the cross. Let Jesus be exalted and magnified here. Let Him be the most important thing this morning. Let Your Word, Lord, be the most important thing. And I pray that every person here would place that Word in You, Lord, at the highest place in their life today. Let this Word be changing and transforming. Let us not be the same as when we came in. We proclaim that we have open minds and open hearts to receive Your Word. Now, Lord, let that be the case. And we thank You for what You're going to accomplish today according to Your Word and Your plan and purpose. In Jesus' name, and all who agree, say amen.
Amen.
I have a testimony.
Praise the Lord. Come on.
You know, the storms of life take many forms. And the Word says that the devil goes around as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And I'm here to tell you today that whatever storms of life are coming your way or have come your way, there's nothing stronger than the God that's in you.
Amen.
And nothing can overcome that.
Amen.
And the answer to the question is not you. You are not one of the ones that the devil can devour.
That's right.
Because you have the strength of God in you.
Yeah.
And that strength is stronger than any storm,
yes,
be it a blizzard or a snowstorm or a financial storm or a relationship storm, a house burning down, any kind of storm that you can imagine. Whatever those storms are, God is greater.
Amen.
God is greater. Because if we don't serve a God who's greater than our storms, then our faith is in vain and it's futile and it's worthless.
Right.
And if we're not here serving a living God that changes us and redeems us,
amen,
and calls us by name, then we're here for no purpose at all. So I'm here to testify to you today that though the devil has attacked, he has not overcome.
Amen.
And though I was sick, yet I am healed.
Amen.
Because our God is stronger, stronger than any storm, any trial,
amen,
any temptation.
Amen.
So hold fast your faith.
Yes.
Return to your first love. Grab hold of the God who wants to grab hold of you today. Amen.
Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. I remind us again that the Bible says, God's Word says, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I've called you by my name. You are mine.
Right.
Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Did you get that? Hallelujah. He's redeemed us. He's called us by name. We belong to Him.
That means the outcome, if we trust Him, is sure and steadfast. Amen? Hallelujah. No matter what. Chuck was talking about circumstances. Every one of us got circumstances in our life, one way or another. Right now, you're going through circumstances. But guess what? Circumstances can't overcome unless we let them, right?
That's right.
I want to talk to you today. I want to just start with a couple of thoughts, but I want to talk to you today about, well, the title of this is this your final decision or your final answer? Amen? And let me tell you something. Who wants to be a millionaire without God? No. This is better than all the money in the world. In fact, if you trust and watch God, you'll walk in riches and wealth that you never dreamed possible. And it won't be just money. That'll be part of it, but it won't be just money. Amen. You know, all of a sudden it hit me. You know, it's amazing how simple things kind of escape you and you don't really meditate on them. You just kind of take them for granted. You hear them and hope them. But I heard when we were talking this morning, I heard just for a moment, I heard the difference between pessimism and optimism, yeah, it's easy for me to say, is just the attitude of your heart. The difference of whether you are a pessimist or an optimist is just the attitude of your heart. Without God, you're a pessimist. With God, you're an optimist. Amen? Hey, Rand, can we relate? And you know what? Chuck was talking about in Proverbs 13:12. In fact, I'll just read that, and then we'll stand up and read the main text that I have this morning. Proverbs 18, or 13:12, excuse me. Proverbs 13:12. It says, "Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but when the desire comes, it is a tree of life." Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Will you stand with me for the Word? Psalm 16, verses 9 through 11. Psalm 16, verses 9 through 11. Hallelujah. Did you come expecting this morning? Doesn't the Bible say hope doesn't make ashamed?
That's right.
Amen? Hallelujah. In honor of your Word, Lord. "Therefore my heart is glad, and my glory rejoices. My flesh also will rest in hope. For you will not leave my soul in Sheol, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption." Say, that's me.
That's me.
"You will show me the path of life." Did you get that? The path of life. Not just one step. It's an everyday path. "In your presence is fullness of joy, and at your right hand are pleasures forevermore."
Hallelujah.
Thank you for your Word, Lord.
You
may be seated. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Once again, Chuck talked about circumstances. We need to become a tree or a pillar, steadfast, strong, and unmovable in the things of God, in what God says. Because they don't change.
That's right.
They don't change, right? In your life, when you start to feel far from God, stop for a minute and think or guess who moved. Right? If you feel far from God, even right at this moment, guess who moved? Didn't God promise? He said, "I will never leave you nor forsake you."
Yes, He
did. Didn't God say, isn't there a scripture in there that says, I can tell you, I have never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread.
It's the truth.
And that's me also. That's me also. You've got to understand that that's not just one or two individuals or those who are called in the fivefold ministry, but that's every one of us today. Amen?
Yes.
Hallelujah. That sends chills up and down my spine.
Praise the Lord.
You know, one of these days, I'm going to get excited enough, you guys are going to see that Holy Ghost fit I talk about. I'm telling you. Praise the Lord. At His right hand are pleasures forevermore. He says, therefore my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. Rejoices! Amen. You can't rejoice when you're moaning and groaning, can you? It's impossible. Can bitter water and sweet water come from the same well? Well, your Bible says that, huh? There must be an element of truth to that, you think? My flesh, listen folks, my flesh also will rest in hope. The only way that's going to happen is when you arrest your flesh, you arrest its appetites and things, and you trust in God and you look to God. Who is what? The author and the finisher of your faith. Amen? Praise the Lord. God's promise in Proverbs, or Psalm 16, verse 10 says, He will not leave your soul in Sheol, or what seems like hell. Nor will you allow. Listen to this. He said, I will not allow my Holy One to see corruption. Y'all are missing a good place to say amen and to shout. He promises we're not just out wandering around like a pinball in a pinball machine, bouncing off things, clinking and clanking. Sometimes you feel like that, don't you? But He says, you will show me the path of life, the path of life, in your presence, in the presence of God, not anywhere else. Did you hear me? Should I repeat that? Not anywhere else is fullness of joy, and only at His right hand are pleasures forevermore. I got to let off steam, because if I don't, man, I'm going to be like that little thing on the top of a pressure cooker. I'm telling you, it's liable to blow the lid off any time. Folks, do you understand that? Here's what hope is. Hope is an opinion or a belief grounded, now listen carefully, on substantial evidence. Did you get that? Substantial evidence. What substantial evidence? Well, I can tell you, my past history up until now shows substantial evidence that God's real. Because I'm not the man I was 40 years ago. I'm not the man I was 20 years ago. I'm not the man, you're not the person you were a year ago.
Amen.
If you are, we need to raise you from the dead. Amen? Can I tell you what God's doing right now? One of the things that I see happening in this year, I see God restoring zeal and fervor in people's hearts. People returning to their first love. Their first love. You remember the excitement you felt when you got saved? When you knew that God had done everything that you needed to bring you out of the muck and the guck and the clay and the garbage and the filth and the corruption of this world? Amen? I see God, and I'm telling you, it's starting right here. I went to a meeting Monday night. Dinner meeting, Richard went with us. And I'm telling you, it's not that that started this spark. It's God that started the spark, but that added to it. How many know a righteous man's steps are ordered by the Lord? No, you don't know. How many are convinced that that's a righteous man's steps are ordered by the Lord? Amen? Hallelujah. And so this is spilling off not only in that what we were there for that meeting for, that dinner meeting, but for, I mean, it starts right here in the household of faith and in the temple. Did you get that? In the temple.
Yes.
That's where it starts. Hallelujah. Hope is an opinion or belief grounded grounded, anchored on substantial evidence. Isaiah 26, 3 and 4. You can turn there if you want to. It says, "You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you." Why? Because he trusts in you. Trust is not wishing or hoping. Trust is that substantial evidence of what's in your heart. Now, I want to tell you something. I felt it. As soon as I said that, I felt people say, you know, can a condemnation come? And your Bible says, if your heart condemns you, He's greater than your heart. And He also says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Amen? Condemnation doesn't come from God. The reason things come is not to tear you, or, you know, things get put on you from God. It's not to tear you down, but to pull you out of the situation or the circumstance that you're walking in or that you're facing right this moment. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Guilt and condemnation come from the enemy. They don't come from God.
That's right.
Conviction comes from God. And that conviction is not just a negative thing, convicting you of wrongdoing. But that conviction can be that you're convicted that you know that the Word of God is true and nothing can change it. Amen? Hallelujah. Nothing can change it. Not even your circumstances, Chuck. Not even my circumstances. Trust in the Lord forever. For in Yah, the Lord, is everlasting strength. Peace. What is peace? Freedom from disquieting thoughts or emotions. Freedom from disquieting thoughts or emotions. How many know that sometimes emotions can be like a freight train in your life? See, God gave us emotions, and emotions are not wrong. It's what we do or allow to be done with the emotions that get us off course. Amen? I want to take this slow, man. I want to suck this in like a sponge myself. Amen?
Amen?
What does disquieting mean? Disquiet or disquieting. It means to disturb or disturbing, depriving of peace or rest. You're deprived of quiet, impatient, restless, or uneasy. None of that sounds like fun to me. I don't know about y'all, that doesn't sound like fun to me. I've been there, done that. I don't want to go there anymore. And I have the assurance and the substantial evidence in my life that I don't have to dwell there. My dwelling place has changed. I've been redeemed. I've been set free. I've been provided for because my Redeemer lives.
That's right.
And once again, we need to understand that when Jesus was on that cross, and He said in His final moments, "It is finished. Honey, it was finished. There's nothing left to do, nothing left that needs to be accomplished except for us to come in agreement with His Word and His way of doing things. Not based on our opinion, but based on our decision." Amen? Now, it may start with an opinion, but once you walk with God, you watch what He does in your life, and then it becomes a decision. Amen? You know, another word that goes along with that, disquieting or disquieted, is to vex. You know what that means? It means to make angry or annoyed. To irritate. To plague. Torment. Harass. Afflict. Trouble. This one gets me. Tease. Oh man. I'm telling you, Slewfoot is the biggest tease on the face of the earth. You know, it's like the old guy standing out with a big stick behind the mule trying to get him to go. And the carrot's out there and he just teases us, you know. He teases us by telling us the word doesn't really mean what it says. Come on, don't look at me like that. You know what I'm talking about. I heard what you're thinking. And the other thing is, the final thing is to twist. That's what vex means, to twist. When our circumstance gets so big in our life, no matter what it is, whether it's financial, physical, emotional, the truth gets twisted and distorted, doesn't it? The truth is not clear anymore. There's a screen, almost like that veil's been put back that separates us from God. Honey, that veil was torn in two. Like Jesus said, it is finished. You need to come to the place in your life where you say, it is finished. And stand right there. Having done all to stand, stand. Stand fast, therefore, in the what? In the liberty wherewith Christ, the Anointed One with the anointing, has set you free. Come on. Oh, here's a good one. Fret. We're not talking about that thing Harry plays or that thing that's on the guitar that Harry plays. We're talking about fret. Fret means to impair, to wear away, or to diminish. And what does it diminish? Faith, hope, and trust. If it takes control, your faith, hope, and trust is going to diminish. To irritate, once again, to tease, or to vex. And you know what fretting brings? Fear. Which is what? The opposite of faith, is it not? Fear. Oh man. Painful emotion. Painful emotion. That's what fear is. Excited by expectation of evil. You lost your job. I mean, you're still working, but you don't have the salary you had or the wages you were earning before. You got bills that are piling up, and your check was $400, which is half or less than half of what you were making. Honey, that's a good opportunity to start to fret and worry and fuss. Unless you're planted solidly in the Word of God, and you trust God, and you know in whom you have believed, and you are persuaded that He is able to keep what you've committed to Him against the day. What have you committed to Him? Everything. The first thing you better commit is yourself. Amen? Right? And then all the other things will follow after that, right? Let's don't put the cart before the horse. The first thing you need to commit is you. Otherwise, you look like you need to be committed. That was free. Apprehension of impending danger or evil. Oh, that sounds like something I want in my life. Let's pile on the fear. No, I'm with her. No. No. Well, in that, is there any peace?
No,
there's not, and there can't be. That's right. Amen. The Scripture says that, doesn't it, Chuck? Turn with me to 1 John 4, 14 through 18. 1 John 4, 14 through 18. There's a question we're going to ask in a minute. The Scripture asks it. And we'll get there. But let's start with Psalm 1 John 4, 14 through 18. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent the Son as the Savior of the world. Right? We've all seen and we can testify to that, right?
Right.
Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, listen now, confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, not confessing your problems and your woes, but confessing that Jesus is the Son of God, abides in Him and He in the Son.
Hallelujah!
And we have known and believed that God has for us, believed the love that God has for us. We have known and believed the love that God has for us. Now let me ask you a question. If I tell you I love you, and I give you or do for you anything but what's for your good or your benefit, or that benefits you or makes you better than you were, is that love?
That's a lie.
That's right. That's a lie. I'll remind you, just because you stand in a garage, call yourself a car, it doesn't make you a car. Just because you say you love, if your actions don't line up, honey, your words are futile. Your words are messed up. They're lies. They're deception. Amen. God's not the author of confusion or lies. Praise the Lord. Verse 18. Now listen carefully. There is no fear in love. What were you fretting about? What was I fretting about? What was that thing that you think is bigger than God? There is no fear in love. But perfect love casts out fear. And I'll bet you if you look that up, you'll find that that's not just a passive or just a kind of little brushing away. I think you'll find that that's a violent thing. Perfect love casts out fear. In other words, it won't entertain it, it won't receive it, and it won't walk or stand in it for more than a second. Amen?
Amen.
Are you determined?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Psalm 42, verses 5 and 11. Psalm 42, verses 5 and 11. Why are you downcast, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God. There's no hope outside of Him. You want to talk hopeless outside of God? It's hopeless. I tell you, who do you run to when you don't have God? Where do you get peace? Where do you get comfort? Where do you get security if it's not in God? This world thinks comfort and security is in money and jobs, working your life away. And what does it cost you? Is it worth it? Is it worth the price you pay when you lose your family? And that would tell me, man, your thinking's messed up. Right? Your thinking's messed up. And verse 11 says, why are you downcast, O my soul, and why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise Him, the help of my countenance and my God. 43, verse 5 says, why are you downcast, O my soul? And why are you disquieted with me? He mentioned it a second time. Hope in God, for I shall yet praise Him, the help of my countenance and my God. He repeated it. Psalm 24, 7 through 10. This is a little redundant, but there's a purpose behind it. Amen? Stay with me. You're commanded. This isn't just a suggestion. This is a commandment. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be lift up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty. The Lord, mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates. Lift up, you everlasting doors. And the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. We're commanded to lift up the hands that hang down.
That's right.
Amen? We're asked here, why are you downcast? The only reason possibly you or I could be downcast at any point in our life is because our trust and our hope is not focused where it needs to be. We haven't made the decision that there's nothing good that He'll withhold from me. That all of His promises are for me.
Yeah.
And He doesn't qualify it. I don't see any names in that Scripture that says that person with that name is disqualified. Amen? Praise the Lord. 121, 1 through 8. Psalm 121, 1 through 8. Sometimes it's good just to kind of dwell or take a rest stop in Psalms. 121, 1 through 8. Listen carefully. I will lift up. This sounds like a decision, doesn't it? I will lift up my eyes to the hills from whence comes my help. Where does your help come from? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. That would indicate to me that He's got it in control. If He made it, He's got it in control. Amen? He's controlling it. Not anything you see, not anything you feel that's contrary to the Word of God. Right? Who made heaven and earth. Listen now. He, that's a capital H, folks, will not allow your foot to be moved. Amen. What's your obligation? Trust Him. Right. Make sure the confession of your mouth is according to the Word. Amen? Amen? He who keeps you will not slumber. He's not asleep at the wheel. He's not asleep on the job. Amen? Behold, he who keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. Listen carefully. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve you. What did that say? The Lord shall preserve you. What were you worried about? What was that vexing, that irritation? You know, we need to come to the point in our lives where when something like a calamity and it's not really calamity, it's a circumstance. You know, just like the enemy lied to Adam and Eve in the garden, it's just a lie that comes, and we need to just, like a mosquito or a little bug, just swat it like an irritation. Kill it! Amen? Kill it! How do you do that? Start confessing. Start quoting. Start meditating in the Word of God. Amen? Hallelujah. Verse 7 says, the Lord shall preserve you from all evil. Wait a minute. That doesn't mean if I'm sick and I miss 21 days of work that I'm going to be preserved from that. You think so, Chuck? Amen. Because we walked it out, huh? See, we, like David, need to remember the lion and the bear. We've had battles. What does it say in Mark 11? If you believe and not doubt, you'll say to this mountain, it looked like a mountain for a while, didn't it? Be removed and be cast in the sea, and it will be done. If you believe and you don't doubt. Remember, He's a co-laborer. The Holy Spirit's there to remind you of these things. What happens is we get so shook up and get so disquieted on ourselves that we start hearing our thoughts and hearing the enemy come and say things so that the Word of God is kind of pushed out of the way. And that's when it starts to look like a mountain. Amen? Right? It's not a mountain. It's a speed bump. If you keep your focus on Jesus, on the Word, on God. Jesus is the Word, is He not? The Word says He is our peace. He is our joy. He is our salvation. What was I fussed about? I don't remember. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth, and what? Forevermore. Wait a minute. But this sounds like I don't ever lose. You got it. Hallelujah. 143:8-12. Psalm 143:8-12. Are you getting anything out of this morning? I'll tell you what, now you know why I'm excited. I get to hear God speak these things to me, and then I get to hear the finishing of the whole thing once I put my notes down and He begins to minister. I'm telling you, when God's in control, you're never out of control. Amen? We need to take that serious. We need to meditate that. Psalm 143, verses 8 through 12. Here's a prayer we can pray. Cause me to hear your loving kindness in the morning. Then we make the declaration, for in you do I trust. cause me to know the way which I should walk. Your Bible says the righteous man's steps are ordered by the Lord. For I lift up my soul to you. When your soul is disquieted, what do? You lift it up to the Lord. Amen? Richard, you're missing some good stuff here. Deliver me, O Lord, from my enemies, for in you I take shelter. For in you I take shelter. For in you I take shelter. Amen. Hallelujah. Your shield and buckler. Amen. Hallelujah. Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. Your spirit is good. Lead me in the land of uprightness. Revive me, O Lord, for your name's sake. For your righteousness' sake, bring my soul out of trouble. What did he say? Call upon me in the time of trouble, and I will show you great and mighty things that you don't even know about. Woohoo! In your mercy, cut off my enemies. What are your enemies? Poverty, lack, want, confusion, fear. Don't shout me down just because I'm preaching real good here today. And destroy all those who afflict my soul, for I am your servant. That sounded like a declaration. For I am your servant. Can you say that today? In these scriptures we read about hope. There's hope there. There's hope no place else, folks. Listen to this. Hope is a desire of some good. Now listen carefully. Accompanied with an expectation of obtaining it. Just the desire of something good or some good doesn't work if it's not accompanied with an expectation of obtaining the reason you're looking to hope and you have hope. It's also confidence in a future event. We're coming out of this. God's restoring. God's restoring. He's not going to leave us in a place of despondency. He's not going to leave us in a place of lack and want. But our trust has to be in Him. Not in a paycheck that's less than half of what you should do. Man, that's a time when most folks without God and some folks with God who are not assured of these things start to panic. But they're going to shut off the power. But they're going to shut off my phone. The cable's not going to be there anymore. Dear Lord, that's a catastrophe. Do you believe what you see? Or do you believe the Word of God? You've got to. Because if you don't, that paycheck is the beginning of the final nail in your coffin of hopelessness. And the first thing that comes to your mind, I'm going to have to go file bankruptcy. Uh-uh. Your Bible says your God promised you and I that we should not suffer any lack. And He is our provision by His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Where does that put you in the picture except on the receiving end? Where does that put you in the picture except on the receiving end? And through hope comes rest. I like this. Rest is freedom from everything which wearies or disturbs. That thing on which anything rests or leans on for support. Where do you have to run to when these things come? What is that thing that supports you and that you rest in when these things come? If it's not God, if it's not His Word, you're in a hopeless situation. Now that's the definition of hopeless. We were without hope before Jesus paid the price. Because of the tainted blood that was sent through Adam, from Adam until now, we had no hope if it hadn't been for God's plan to redeem us. Are you redeemed? Not only that, His blood courses through your veins. Jesus is known as the second and final Adam. Adam means blood of God. So the first Adam, the blood that came through him that caused us to be in a state of disrepair, of hopelessness, has been changed. We have new blood. We're of a new family. We're a new species or being that never before existed. And so we don't have to walk in calamity. Don't have to walk in circumstances any longer. Amen?
Amen.
And rest is a place of habitation. What's habitation? That's an interesting word. It's a place of abode. Listen, a settled dwelling. Is it settled? Are you settled in God? It's a residence. It's where you live. It's where you live. To reside, what does that mean? To reside means to dwell permanently. To have a settled abode. To have a seat or fixed position. That is the place and a place of peace. Amen? We're working towards it, aren't we?
That's right.
Hallelujah. And the final one in rest is, it's a final hope. Is it final? Is your hope final?
Yeah.
There's no wavering? What does the Bible say about those who waver? Tossed to and fro. They're unstable, right? They're unstable. Thank God for His peace, the peace of God. Philippians 4, 4 through 9. Philippians 4, 4 through 9. Here's the command. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice.
Hallelujah.
Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Uh-oh. There's some stipulations here. Be anxious for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplications, with thanksgiving, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplications, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God.
Amen.
And listen what the outcome is if you'll do that. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now here's another note. Finally, brethren, here's the final stipulation and the final thing. Here's the finality of it all. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of a good report, if there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. These things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, do, and the peace of God will be with you.
Right. It works.
If you're not doing these things and the peace of God's not with you, then that's why. Amen? Colossians 3, 1 through 17. We're going to close. Harry will be out by noon. Colossians 3, 1 through 17. I'll tell you what, I feel like I'm getting a steak right now. If you then were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is.
Amen.
Where is He? Sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above and not things on the earth. Are circumstances like sickness, dis-ease. Now, I didn't say disease. I said dis-ease. No hope. Peace gone. That's dis-ease. Are those things of the earth or things of God? So where are we going to set our affections? Things above. Amen. But they're given to us so we can walk down here. Amen.
Right.
Woo-hoo! Hallelujah. Things above and not on things of the earth. For you died. Were you crucified with Jesus when you accepted Him?
Yeah.
Did you become, according to 2 Corinthians 5:17, a new species or being that never before existed?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Do you feel your hopelessness waning away here? Do you feel joy and peace and strength welling up on the inside you?
Yeah. Amen.
Ooh, put your hope in God. Put your hope in God. Amen? Then your life and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with Him. Are we seated at the right hand of God? Oh, now some of you hesitated. Are you seated at the right hand of God? Now let me tell you why you should be saying yes to that, even though your logic may be telling you no. Does the Bible not say that He is the head and we are the body? Is it possible for the body to exist or be someplace without the body? Then if the Scripture also says that His enemies have been made His footstool and they're under His feet at the throne, does that not mean that we are, as His body, those things under His feet? So they're under our feet, aren't they?
That's right.
Woo-hoo! You know, we might just get excited this morning. Now, here's your responsibility. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth. Fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience. Say, that's not me. Oh, come on now, say, that's not me. In which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. But now you yourselves are to put off all of these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie one to another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on a new man who is renewed in the knowledge according to the image of Him who created him. If you confess anything other than the truth, which is God's Word, which means your circumstances are only circumstances, they're subject to change. There's only one truth, and that's God's truth. And it's not what you see, and it's not what you experience in this life. Truth only comes through God. Put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man who is renewed in the knowledge according to the image of Him who created him. Where there is neither Jew nor Greek, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, nor free, but Christ is all and in all. You're free today in Christ. There's no freedom outside of Christ. Amen? You're free today because of Christ, the anointed one with the anointing. The anointing does what? Breaks every yoke. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another. It's okay if you get a phone call. There's no shame. There's no defeat in calling and saying, I need prayer. The body can't walk. There's no part of your body that can walk independently of the rest of the body. Every part benefits and nourishes and causes the other parts to continue on. There's times when you'll have to call on those white corpuscles because of the disease of this world and the filth and the corruption that steals our thoughts away from God and God's tender mercies and God's promises. Where we need to come like those white corpuscles and kill that disease by holding up the hands of one who needs it. But when God says, this is the way, walk in it, don't go back. Don't go back. Now, does that mean if I make a mistake, I'm done? No. The Bible says a righteous man falls 7 times and what? Rises up again. Amen? Rises up again. It's finished. It's finished. We need to say like Jesus, it's finished. And the more we walk with God, the more convinced we are. It's finished. There's no good thing that He withholds from me or from you. Right? Bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these, put on love. What is love? It's the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God, listen folks, let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called. You were called to the peace of God and to walk in the peace of God. Do you understand that today? Not to fret and worry. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you were also called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. I'm going to turn back to Psalms, but this will close. 34:17-19. Psalms 34:17-19. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. God's up to something, folks. Are you ready? Are you ready? I'm ready. I want to be a part of it. Amen. Praise your Lord. Psalms 34:17-19. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears. And He doesn't just hear, He delivers them out of all their troubles. The Bible says many are the afflictions of the righteous. There are lots of things that try to afflict us every day. Many are those that come. But the Lord delivers us out of them all. Out of them all. Not some, not most of the time, not sometimes, all the time. The Lord delivers them out of all their troubles. Can you be assured today? Take heart. Take notice of this. The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart and saves such as have a contrite spirit. He knows the desire that you want to serve Him. And He knows that what things you need before you ask. See, if we're convinced... I remember years ago hearing Dr. Frederick K. Price talk about early years in his ministry. He was in this old building. The lights were just the old-fashioned kind that came down on a wire and just the bulb. And God was dealing with him about the difference between needs and wants. And so as he began to meditate, what are my needs? What's the difference between my needs and my wants? What do I need for this ministry? Here. Not to have the power shut off. Not to have the water shut off. Not to have the heat shut off. And even though the church was small and the finances were not great, God met those needs. That's what He needed. So the ministry could go. You're part of the ministry. You're God's feet and arms and hands and mouth in this earth. You think He's going to forsake you or not meet those needs? We got to remember that we have to be the example, though. Right? Hallelujah. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. There it is, verse 19. Psalm 34, verse 19. But the Lord delivers him out of them all. He guards his bones, guards all his bones. Not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and those who hate righteousness shall be condemned. That's not us. That's not you. The Lord redeems his soul, redeems the soul of his servants, and of none of those who trust in him shall be condemned. This is the confidence that we have in him, that he who has begun a good work in you will perform that work until the day of Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. Is the fire starting to burn again? You feel the spark this morning? I'm telling you, I feel it. In fact, it's gone far beyond a spark. There's a raging fire in me, folks. There's a raging fire in me. You know, there's a difference between confidence confidence and cockiness, I guess, is another word. It's not the word that I was thinking of, but cockiness and cockiness. Cockiness comes when you operate in yourself and look what I've done. But confidence comes when you walk with God and you see His hand every time be right there and go with you through it and cause you to come out better on the other end. Amen? Amen? We're growing, Chuck. We're going on. And the only way that's possible is not to look at what we see. But like we've been commanded in the Word, we call those things which be not, or that seem not, as though they were, or as though they are. Don't put a time limit or a time frame on God. God's always on time. He's always on time. And if we allow Him to do what He's going to do because we trust in Him and keep our focus on Him, He's going to get glory. Not you or I, but He's going to get glory. Amen? Praise the Lord. That's what I want to see. I want to see Jesus lifted up so that men are drawn to Him. And that's only going to happen if we make the decisions not to let the things in this world and the life tear us down, but stay steadfast, immovable in the things of God. Amen? That's where I want to be. How about you? Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. He's calling. Listen to what Gene's playing. Softly and tenderly, He's calling. Calling. Not only to sinners, which we once were, but to those who are desiring to walk in truth and in the fullness of God. I'm telling you, I've made and I'm making a commitment that I don't ever want to walk out of here ever, ever the same way I came in. Amen. How about you? Amen. I want growth in my life. I want to change. The more I change, the more you change, the more people don't see you anymore. They see Jesus. Do you hear me? They see Jesus, the greater one who dwells within you. As Dan would ask, are all hearts clear today? Is there anything we need to pray about? Anything you need agreement on? Now's the time to do it. I can tell you God was pleased with the worship and the praise this morning. I can tell you His heart's here to meet your needs. One more time. Are all hearts clear? Praise the Lord. I don't know if it was as much fun receiving this message as it was to give it, but I'm telling you, it was a hoot being able to give this message. It's a hoot being used by God. I'm telling you. Talk about joy unspeakable and full of glory when you allow God to work through you and use you. There's nothing like it. There's nothing like it, huh, Chuck? Praise the Lord. I agree with the song Deborah's been on here lately. See, today, through this message, and now through this moment of decision in you, we march right into the enemy's camp. And we're taking back what the enemy stole. Woo-hoo! Glory to God. Amen. Taking it back with violence. No more am I going to stay where I was. No more are you going to steal from me. No more am I going to let these things control me. Boldness and confidence rising up. Enough. It's finished. Hallelujah. Stand with me, please. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. You are worthy. You are worthy. You who obeyed the Father, redeemed His man, His creation. The one He said that He would not see or allow His seed, His children, to see corruption. You're worthy. You're worthy. With all of our hearts, we love You today, Lord. We love You. We thank You for Your presence. We thank You for the Holy Spirit. We thank You for Your promises. But we don't worship those things, Lord. We worship You, the Creator. We worship You, the Creator. We proclaim You're worthy. Abba, Father. Daddy God. Abba, Father. Thank You for Your presence. Thank You for sending the Holy Spirit today to minister life and light to all of our hearts. Once again now, Lord, seal Your word in every heart. Let man's wisdom and man's words fall to the ground and die. But seal Your word in every heart. Change. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord, for joy unspeakable, full of glory. Pray now, Lord, that You'd go with those who leave here today, who have been here. We pray for those who were not here, Lord. We pray that You minister to them wherever they are, whatever they're doing, Lord. You ministered to them today also. Thank You for protecting us, keeping us safe. Lord, I pray that throughout this day, this word, starting right here in this heart, will be my meditation all day. I love You, Lord. My strength and my Redeemer. Now, Lord, may you smile and may your face shine on your people today, Lord. May there be pleasure in the decisions and the walk that they walk in today. I thank you that this is added to faith. This is added to growth in every heart and life. Go with them, bless them abundantly, Lord. Reveal yourself to them. And show them, Lord, so that they're convinced that you're interested in every, even minor, detail in their life. And that you're the one who is and who has the answer. In Jesus' name we thank you and praise you forever. Amen.